Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into the Allo Communications Studios. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll have Rockies coverage beginning at 12:30 for you as the rubber match set to go at 1:10 between St. Louis and Colorado. In the meantime, we've got our guy on, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our Rams insider. Nobody better when it comes to great, thorough Rams coverage than what the folks at the Coloradoan do, and of course Kevin leading that. Kevin, my man, how you feeling, my friend?
I'm doing good. I've been on the pup list for the week. Hopefully, we'll be off for next week and back out in action. But not doing better. Had a little bout of COVID, but I'm on the mend. Happy to say.
Well, I saw you tweet about it, and I got to say it. I got like 4 weeks ago, so I know I wasn't the reason. So I just wanted to clear the air there, Kevin. I wanted to make sure you didn't hate me or anything. I was not the reason. I did the quarantine thing, so there you go, man. I have proof. I have an alibi.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm just riding out through this quarantine, and you know, it's good that I'm bored, but you know, because that means I'm feeling better. But I'm definitely getting bored and ready to get back out at it.
Man, it's gotta be tough though. Like you're getting set for the season. You know, summer, we're chomping at the bit to get into Rams coverage. And again, you are the guy. You're there every single day. And then, bam! As soon as practice starts, you pretty much get it. So I feel for you, my friend.
Yeah, definitely a weird thing, but I guess that's the world we're in right now. Just thankful to be feeling good and. Football will come. It'll all be all right. So I'll be happy to be back out there.
Well, so what can you tell us then? Because I know you have your little birdies everywhere as far as people giving you insight. What can you tell us? I wasn't able to get to the scrimmage yesterday. The timing doesn't work for the show. But I did watch the video via the Coloradoan. And Jay Norvell, he didn't seem like he was that impressed with the scrimmage, but also not. He didn't seem like he was surprised that he wasn't that impressed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sound like, you know, some offensive struggles, which, you know, isn't a massive shock. You know, I also talked to our guy Mike Rowe from the Ram Nation podcast. He was out there, and he said the defense looks pretty good, you know, a lot of D-line pressure, which makes sense. We like this D-line. I think it's a good unit. And the offense, you know, we knew there were going to be some growing pains. You have four transfers that are starting on the O-line, so they've played a lot but not together, and some of them have shifted positions. You have Torrey Horton and Melquan Stovall, you know, played at Nevada but not even with Clay Millen. I don't think he was suited up yesterday. I'm not sure if Melquan was. So you still have kind of a mishmash group of things, and it's less than a week into camp, really. So my main takeaway always on these early scrimmages is to not have any huge takeaways. There's some things you can learn, but don't overreact, good or bad. You know, it's just so early. The one cool thing, fun to see, I'm sure everyone saw some of the videos from CSU football. Justice Ross Simmons had a couple incredible catches. He's one of the four freshman receivers and one of the guys that looks like he'll probably have a role early on. And obviously we know pass catchers are highly valued in this offense. So it's cool to see him make some big plays.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you can see kind of standout performances like that, like his, you know, you can take that away. But I agree with you 100%. There's only so much that you should responsibly take away from these early team scrimmages and such. And again, even listening to Jay Norvell, he's kind of like, yeah, our offense wasn't sharp, but that's kind of what these are. These are evaluating. So if it was perfection, you know, we'd probably be shocked at that point. So again, when you listen to Norvell, you know, it's like he kind of sounded upset, but not surprised necessarily. What has stuck out to you though? What, since practice started Friday, and from when you were able to attend, and just again from what you're hearing, anything in particular, any kind of red flags, or the opposite of that, any kind of big positives that have really stuck out to you?
No, I mean, I think it's felt, you know, like in early camp, a lot of optimism, especially with this group. It's been interesting. It seems like you have a group of guys from Nevada that, you know, did win at, you know, at some level of pretty good success. You have the CSU holdover guys who, you know, haven't won at all in college. And it seems like those two sort of sides are molding and merging together in a pretty nice way to what feels like a pretty motivated group to, you know, get this thing steering in the right direction. So it seems like the kind of various groups you have coming together to make this team seem to be clicking and moving in the right direction. Again, it's camp, and most camps are optimistic, but it's definitely a different feel and vibe than it has been, and you know, a good energy. So I think everyone's ready for the season. You know, it's still a long haul camp. You know, really did still just start, so we're still just really in the infancy. But I think a lot of these guys are pretty itching to get games going because they want to get some wins because it's been a while.
Kevin, the Tanner was going over the lines. He pays attention to that a lot more than I do. CSU Michigan, I think he told me, I want to say that it's opening up as a plus 27.5 for CSU. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's, I haven't looked in a while. Someone just asked me online about that too, and that's the one I had seen a while back. I think that makes sense. I think that's a pretty decent line. Michigan, you know, they're number 6 in the coaches' poll. They'll be somewhere right around there in the AP poll as well, which comes out Monday. Obviously, the Big House is named that for a reason, so that's quite a daunting task. So we'll see. I mean, I think 27 is a pretty reasonable line, to be real honest. I guess if I had to be forced right now to say which way, I'd go slightly under, but I think that's an understandable line.
What's the weakness, you think, on the offense? Because we've talked a lot about it, Kevin. We've talked a lot about Clay Millen being a young guy, getting his first start against Michigan on the road. It's going to be crazy. We've talked about Torrey Horton. We've talked about, as you said, Justin Ross Simmons, pass catchers, tight end game. Do you look at the offense first and say, okay, well, these are going to be some weaknesses going in that we've heard about, we've seen, that if they've got to address these, otherwise it's going to be a long year?
Yeah, in some ways, I think it's just cohesion because, I think all your parts are pretty solid, but it's all coming from different places. Very little of it has ever worked together. Whether, like I say, even Horton and Stovall, they caught some passes from Clay Millen last year, but mostly they're catching balls from Carson Strong in practice. So even them, you know, they have some familiarity, but not years and years of it. So I think just getting cohesion, I mentioned the O-line, also depth on that O-line. If you have injuries, that's going to be trouble. That, you know, that's the case with most teams. But those are kind of the things. And obviously Clay Millen, you know, it's not a negative, but he's will be playing his first college games, and there's going to be a learning curve, especially when your first game is, you know, freaking Michigan. So I think just some of those things. There's no huge red flag, I would say, of like, oh boy, this offense may not work. Probably just an understanding that this offense isn't going to be at the same place that Nevada's was last year when you had, you know, Carson Strong that had been in the system, you know, 3 or 4 years, and some of these guys that have been playing together for 3 or 4 years.
So, Kevin, I want to ask you this question then, because our poll question is about the Broncos, basically fill in the blank. It would be considered a failed season for the Broncos if. Let's go with you on the CSU side of things, because you're right. There's going to be a lot of fans that are just expecting this to be Nevada 2.0. A lot of guys came over. They're going to pick up right where they left off. There's going to be some growing pains. In your mind, and again, it's not like Jay Norvell's on the hot seat. I don't think anybody's really on the hot seat this season. But in your mind, it would be considered a failed season for the Colorado State Rams if. What does that look like to you?
Certainly, if you don't improve your win total from 3, I would probably even say if you don't improve it by 2. I think, I don't want to say bowl, would be a fail, because I think it's very reasonable to see how a 5-7 could happen without any big disasters. But I think if you're at 3 wins or maybe even 4 wins, that's probably not where you would hope to be, despite how big of a change needed to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and again, this is all just we just kind of throwing darts at the beginning of the season, right? But you know, you can see. Oh, I could see maybe how Colorado State gets to six wins, but that's of course not knowing about every single team and what exactly they've done. Now we know the Fresno States, the Boise States, and the Air Forces are going to be really tough. But there's a lot of question marks surrounding other teams as well. So I'm kind of with you where I'm more or less expecting five wins. But I do think that six wins is achievable.
Yeah, I would say, you know, almost flipping your question, what would be a big win, you know, a successful season? I think a bowl, and I think that's very reasonable. I mean, to be honest, if, you know, I'm sure I'll do a kind of a predictions later, but right now my prediction would probably be 6-6. So I think CSU can very legitimately be a bowl team. So I think that's your win. Again, I was talking to those Ram Nation guys yesterday who do such a great job, and we were talking about how I think fans would welcome a New Mexico Bowl with open arms this year, whereas in 2017 that was a letdown and a disappointment. A New Mexico Bowl this year I think would be really well received by CSU fans, because it would be a sign of moving in the right direction and, you know, good things to come.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you too about our friends at Ram Nation. Amazing dudes over there. I love that network that they've created. And if you look back at Coach Norvell's first year with Nevada, 3-9. It sounds like neither of us really think that that they're going to be that bad, that they'll come over. But then you see the follow up season. 8-5, they win an Arizona Bowl. Then they're 7-6, 7-2, 8-4. I mean, so again, this is a guy that is pretty successful. But you think with all the resources given at CSU, why can't you improve all of those win totals up by a few games? So I think that the first year we're right on the money, kind of 5-6. I think that the over under is probably 5 for CSU if we want to talk about it locally.
Yep, and, it's a different era in college football, too. His first year at Nevada, you know, you couldn't bring guys in. They had,
sure.
Or, well, you could, but they had to sit. So turning a roster over is a lot different than it is now, whereas all these guys, just imagine if Clay Millen, Melquan Stovall, Torrey Horton, you know, all these guys had to sit out a year, we'd be talking about a whole different thing, wouldn't we? But since they can all play, it helps you reset and rebuild a lot quicker than you used to be able to. So, you know, there's a lot of argument and positives and negatives to transfer portal and all that, you know, all the different things going on. But for a CSU, if you didn't have the ability to transfer and play right away, this would be a lot longer rebuild that we're talking about.
Yeah, which I agree. It's a positive, but maybe it does kind of ramp up that pressure a little bit more than it would if, you know, not given the transfer portal and everything. Kevin, my man, always great stuff from you. Appreciate you rolling with us today, because we're getting preempted at 12:30 your normal time. You get to feeling better. I want to see you out there very soon. I'm heading out tomorrow morning, and then hopefully, you know, the next couple of days in the weekend, you'll be rock and rolling. But I know in the meantime, you'll still be working. You'll still be getting stuff out for the Coloradoan.
Yep, awesome. Excited to be back out there, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, and before I forget, I'll just make the announcement here. We know we're relaunching Rams Weekly with you and Chris Abshire, so I'm joining forces with you guys from the Coloradoan for a Thursday program, kind of a pre-football kind of deal, talking all things Colorado State and Mountain West. So nobody better to be doing a show with on that side of it specifically than with you two gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited to get that going. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff to talk about this year. So excited to get that going, and hope everyone tunes into that as well.
Can't wait, my man. All right, Kevin, you get to feeling better. We'll talk to you very, very soon. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And yes, we will be doing that show. We went by a different name last year, but we're calling it Rams Weekly. Coming up Thursdays in a couple of weeks, so the week before the season starts, I believe, Thursdays at 5 o'clock. So that'll lead you right into either our preps game or whatever NFL game we're carrying for you here. There's nobody does it better. I mean, we got an FCS Nation show talking Big Sky Conference and UNC Bears. We've got NFL programming on this station. We've got Rams Weekly coming up. We're going to have high school football Friday Night Lights, our Football Friday rocking and rolling. So all of that is going to be happening, man. So do not tune away from KFKO. We've got you covered all the time. 39 minutes after the hour, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.